Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. And this session is going to be something that's necessary that we need to talk about, but it's a topic that we really don't like to discuss. And it's about preparing for your funeral, your burial service, and the information that's absolutely necessary that we need to know to sort of make things a little less stressful when that time comes, because we like the title says, we all gotta go. And today joining us is, I'm gonna give his name professionally, C.H. Anthony Jr., but we call him CJ, and CJ yep. is a funeral service licensee. Hey, CJ.
Hey, hello, CJ. You all. Hello, hello, hello. I appreciate you all giving me the opportunity to be with you all today.
Oh, well, welcome, we're glad to have you here with us, because this is a topic, like I said, that we don't like to even think about, let alone discuss. But we need to know this. So first of all, give us your professional background, your years in service and all that, and then we'll jump right in.
Well, I have been in the funeral industry for 22 years, but I'll be licensed in October for 13 years as a licensed funeral director and embalmer. I am also a North Carolina life insurance agent, and I've been that for 14 years. So I've kind of been in and out within everything that's included in funeral service.
Wow. We didn't even know all of that. That's fantastic, CJ. That's fantastic.
That's right.
So we're going to get right into it. Tell us why we need to prepare for when it's time for us to go.
It is very important to prepare for your final arrangements. One, it makes it easier for your family. It is financially better, but the emotional side of it, it helps the family to be able to go through this process a little bit more easier than it would be if somebody had just passed away suddenly. With pre-arranging, you can go ahead and have your different selections as far as merchandise, your casket, your vault, the type of color you want, where you want your services at, where you want to be buried at. Normally, when a family comes into the arrangement room to meet, normally they don't know what to do. Normally, maybe two or three different people trying to make the arrangement, and then one thing, they know what color they want their mama's casket to be, then another family member disagrees and say, no, mama's favorite color is yellow. You know, things like that come up in the conference room, so it makes it easier. That way, if everything's already on paper, then there's nothing for them to really discuss. If their mother or their loved one has already put everything in place, it makes it much easier. And it would help them through the grief process as well, knowing, my loved one has passed away, but we didn't have to go through the stresses of trying to select what we think our loved one may have liked.
Kind of like a will of what somebody wants in the funeral area, right?
Right. That's right. I always tell people that, if you have a special arrangement, put it on paper. You need to have it on paper and make sure that somebody knows where that piece of paper is. A lot of times now when you're pre-arranging, you pre-arrange through a local funeral home. So you make an appointment through the local funeral home. You would then go through your different arrangements. If you are in the military, of course, you'll need your discharge paperwork, the DD-214. All of those things can be discussed at that time. That way, it makes it a lot easier.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ron.
So it helps for the family members to make it easier for them.
Most definitely. Most definitely. You wouldn't believe how many people I actually come in contact with that they just say, you know, I'm glad mom and dad put this stuff together. It really helped us. A lot of the times, all they have to do once their arrangements are already selected is basically tell me the day and time. We go over the arrangements that their loved one has already selected. And then, you know, we just kind of go from there. A lot of times, if they will share that information with whoever their next of kin is or whoever their relative is that's taking charge of it. So when we start discussing it, they'll come and say, oh, yeah, I remember them telling me about this or, I always knew that. So it everything on paper with a licensed funeral home makes it a lot easier.
So the question I have is this, right? How is the financial arrangement done? Is it done after someone has a life insurance and they pay it all at once? Or do the person who is making the arrangements, is it arrangements and then they make payments on the arrangements? What is the financial requirement of pre-arranging someone's funeral? What does that come into play?
There are two different types of pre-arrangements. One, you can do pre-arrangements through a trust, which is a funeral funded bank account. Mm-hmm. Or you can do it through a life insurance policy. Normally, people would use your own life insurance that you already have purchased, or you can purchase another insurance policy through the funeral home in order to take care of those arrangements as far as an insurance portion. So I'm going to give you an example. If they come into the funeral home and they bring their own life insurance policy, it can be attached to whatever arrangements that they select. Now, there are two different types of pre-need contracts that the state requires us to have. One is called an inflation pre-need contract, and one is called a standard pre-need contract. If you are using your own life insurance policy, I would recommend to a family to use what is called a standard pre-need contract. The reason I say that is because if you have an insurance policy that is $15,000, but you come in to make arrangements for what you want and your arrangements come to $9,000. If we were to use what is called an inflation pre-need contract, that means legally we have to spend all $15,000 of your insurance money.
Wow.
If we use a standard pre-need contract, what that means is whatever the cost of the funeral is at the time of death, that is what will be taken from that insurance policy. So it's always important to make sure that you are the funeral home that you select. You know who they are. Get to know your funeral home. You know, I hate to say it's like going to test drive a car, but, you know, initially it's kind of the same, just about the same way. Go and see what they offer. See what type of services that that they have, because, you know, they may not offer what you want. A lot of times now, funeral services are becoming more non-traditional. You know, the traditional setting is you go into a church, you have a wake the night before. You know, a lot of people don't want to do that. They want to have just a simple service at the location that they want, and maybe have a cookout right directly afterward. Or, you know, there are different ways to kind of customize your funeral services. So you just have to make sure that whichever funeral home that you do select, they are able to offer the type of services that you want.
So what happens when you were talking about inflation? So what's happened if someone makes a funeral arrangements and let's say they arrange it for, you know, let's say $15,000. Mm-hmm. And then it's 40 years later before they even pass away and inflation, and they come to cash out, arrangement, and you realize, okay, we agreed to when they paid in full at $15,000, but today's funeral is going to cost this person $40,000 or something. Mm-hmm. How do you guys go about making those adjustments?
So that's why it's important to make sure the type of contract that you have. As far as the inflation contract is concerned, there is a product that we offer at the funeral home, which is a pretty much called a pre-need life insurance policy, where your regular life insurance policy, you pay for it for the rest of your life. Always equate a whole life policy to a mortgage. A mortgage initially, you know, unless you know what you're doing, you're paying for your mortgage the rest of your life. So whenever you try to share with a family what the difference is between whole life and term, always equate whole life with a house. So with the funeral home, with a pre-need insurance policy, you have options where you can pay for it for either 3, 5, 7, or 10 years. But once it is paid for, it's considered a paid up insurance policy. Now, with this policy, it also keeps up with inflation. So as rising funeral costs come, that policy is supposed to keep up with it. Now, it gets kind of tricky, especially if, for the example you gave, Elroy, if you had a $15,000 insurance policy, if you had your own $15,000 insurance policy, and then you put it into an inflation pre-need contract, legally, what that inflation pre-need contract means, it doesn't matter how high the funeral arrangements go, then legally, we're not supposed to ask that family for any more money. So it's a lot of funeral homes now, they are kind of very careful about how they arrange their actual pre-arrangements. But again, you'll learn that process again by going to your funeral home and just making sure that's who you want to use. Because, you know, to be honest, not a lot of funeral directors are honest. Some funeral directors are out to try to take advantage of people. That's just me being keeping it 100. You just have to make sure that you're selecting the right place for your loved one. Going back to the different types of funding mechanisms for pre-arrangement, the other one is called a trust pre-arrangement. So all that is, again, is a funeral funded bank account. You can put however much money you want to put into it at any time. It's not like your life insurance where you have to pay for it each month. You don't have to. You can pay $100 one month and you don't have any more money and come back a year later and put another $100. You can do that. However, I always recommend to families that they need to make sure that that account stays active. So continue to put money into it. And those monies also draw interest to their account. And it's whatever the interest that has been declared through the bank that is used to fund the pre-need.
So you can actually counsel it and say, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to live longer than I thought I did, or I want the money back. Is that an option when someone can counsel their funeral arrangements?
So you can counsel your funeral arrangements through an insurance policy. Every pre-need in North Carolina has, you have to register the contract with the Board of Funeral Service. So okay. If you are with one funeral home and you don't like what they're doing, you can easily transfer those arrangements to another funeral home. That's something that the state has mandated where, you know, you have your freedom of where you want to go. The only thing is, as far as using a trust account, you would not be able to counsel that trust account unless you get a court order. So it's not like a bank account where you put money in, you can take it back out. Legally, the only way those monies can come back out of that trust account is at death.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So it pays to, like you said, know who you're dealing with, really vet them, do your homework and everything, because it could be a headache for you or your family member down the road if you are not with the right place.
Most definitely. You have to make sure that's what you want to do, because you don't want to go through that headache of trying to change things around. You want to make sure that you research as much as you can before you come into a funeral home. Now, of course, online you can find anything that you are looking for. However, research what it is it normally takes to do a pre-arrangement. That way you can kind of know what to expect when you go into a funeral home. You're not going to know everything, but at least have an idea of what you're going to see.
All right. So I know this is the time of season, the last 18, 19 months, you know, for lack of a better word, your business is probably booming because COVID is taking a lot of people up out of here.
Right.
What have you seen in these last 18 months, some of the mistakes that people have made that you would give advice to if you could do it, if you can say, you can give them right now?
I guess the main mistake that I've seen is just being prepared. COVID caught a lot of people. They caught them with the unexpected. They didn't believe their loved one was going to pass away. They never thought that this virus would actually take them. They thought, you know, they thought they may get a little sick, but not actually pass away. So my advice would be, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 18, 19, and 20. The reason I started at 18, because that is the legal age that you can actually sign for your own pre-arrangement. But have that conversation. Go ahead and have things kind of in place. Give your family an idea of what it is that you want, because there's so many different options from funeral services, from burials to cremations. You know, don't have your family out not knowing what to do. Also, to make sure that you have some type of funding to fund for your funeral services. You know, insurance, put money into a bank, you know, just to kind of be prepared, because it's not a good thing once somebody passes away and you don't have anything in place. It causes more stress and more grief than you should have to go through.
And so, we've seen a lot of that where, especially in our community, where someone passes away and they're trying to collect money to have a service for them and to bury them, and that's stressful in itself to deal with the loss.
It's very sad. You see a lot of people trying to do GoFundMe. You know, when GoFundMe came out, it may have been a good idea initially. However, when it comes to funeral services, when you're collecting the monies, what people don't automatically realize when they open a GoFundMe, a percentage of that has to go to GoFundMe. You're not going to get that full amount that you're pledging for. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to be prepared. That way you know what you are actually doing. That way you don't have to do GoFundMe or, you know, do plate sales or, you know, it's... For our community, it's just sad, not only through this COVID pandemic, but just initially, you know, we're just not prepared. We try to wait to the last minute to do it because we don't want to think about it. You know, we're going to live forever. So it's just something that we just got to kind of buckle down on.
So what happens when somebody do come to you and they don't have the funds, but they need to bury somebody? I mean, what do you guys do to work with them and to make sure accommodations are made, if
so
possible?
You have to kind of just have that conversation. I'm one of those type of funeral directors where you just be upfront with me. You know, let me know what you're going through. Let me know what your situation is. You know, initially you just have to go through your different options to see which one is more affordable. You know, every funeral home has their different prices. They have the different offerings. However, just because they price something low doesn't mean that that's the best funeral home to go to. You know, you can not only try to receive money from other family, but also you have options where you can do funding through a financial company. But of course, with a financial company, you got to make sure it's somebody that has decent credit to be able to obtain a loan. That way you can work that out directly with the loan company. Now, some funeral homes will do in-house financing. A lot of them are kind of coming out of that because, you know, people don't just keep up with their end of the bargain. So they have to do what's best for them to be able to operate their business.
Wow, this is funny. It's not funny, but it is, because we plan all sorts of things. We plan, you know, vacations, we plan buying a house, getting married, having kids, but we never give thought to planning for something that is going to happen to all of us.
Most definitely.
And, And, you know, and like I said at the beginning, we don't even like to think about it, let alone discuss it. So, and even with, I mean, Elroy and I, we say little things, but to actually sit and plan it,
I think that's everybody.
Because we want to think about living forever. We want to live forever, but we know we all know that's not the case. Right. And even passed on Sunday, Dr. Chapman of Raleigh North Christian Center told us about making sure, told the men, make sure your family is taken care of if something happened to you as far as a life insurance policy. He was just preaching on that on Sunday. And there are some people that don't even have that.
Right. People, they spend money what they want to spend money on. They can spend money on food, extravagant vacations, but it doesn't take much to sit down with a life insurance agent and plan to spend $40 to $50 per month to make sure that your family does not go through when somebody passes away. No, it's not. I mean, a lot of people that in their mind, that's what they initially think. When you get life insurance, just get enough to be able to bury me. But the whole purpose of life insurance is not only to bury you, but to also take care of those expenses that you had while you were living, whether it's hospital bills, whether it's trying to put money to the side for kids' college education. Right. You can't just really focus directly on funeral services, which funeral services are important. But, you know, what other bills will your family have to take care of after you've passed away?
Right. Well, I know one thing. My mom, she had two plots in her funeral. Robert, tell you, she actually gave, when my uncle passed away, her brother, because he didn't have no plot anything, she had enough that was she can actually gift him one of the plots. So that saved them tons of money because she did everything. Now she'll talk about it. Robin knows we're talking about my mom, about her prearrangements and who's gonna take care of it. So it's a conversation that she don't mind having.
That's right. So, normally the older generation doesn't mind having that. It's just the younger people who want to seem as though they're invincible. Unfortunately, COVID has really taken away a lot of that invincibility because it's not only the older people, but the younger people are passing away. And those are normally the ones who aren't prepared. Truthfully, the conversation with insurance really starts with how your family kind of carries itself. If that's a conversation where, grandma's had an insurance policy taken out for their grandchildren. That conversation almost starts from the grandparents, from what I've seen, to prepare them for that. It's just, like I said, it's sad that people don't take it more seriously.
Right. Because, I had a brother that passed away, and my mom had a small policy. It covered enough, but we still needed to put together the money for certain things because she didn't take out a lot because, she got it when we were young. And, back in the day, they had the insurance man come knock on your door and you pay him and all of that. And that's what she had, a policy like that. And it covered a lot of it, but it still wasn't enough. So the siblings, my brother and sister and I, we had to, with my mom, come up with the rest, put together the rest ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of hard because you're grieving and you're trying to figure out the money to making sure you're laying the person at rest the right way. You don't want to do it just any kind of way. You want to make sure it's done right.
That's right. One thing that my wife and I kind of went on and did, which kind of helps the situation out as far as teaching your children how to be responsible. We went on and took insurance policies out on our children at a young age. Now, of course, taking insurance policies out at a young age, one, economically, it's going to be less expensive because your children normally don't have any health problems. They're of good health. and you can get a pretty good rate at a high death benefit. Death benefit, what I mean by that is the amount of the insurance policy. What our plan is to continue to keep that policy up and running until they get to that age where they can take care of it themselves. So right. I believe that's a good way to start that conversation out with your children. That way they know how important it is.
Right. And like you, we did the same. We have policies on all of us, all four of us, both our sons and ourselves. And we got them when they were first born. And right. over the years, you can keep increasing it. There's so many years you can increase the amount. And over the years, we kept increasing the amount. Like you, once they get to a point, they can take care, you know, keep the policy going. We make sure we transfer it over to them. Because it was just something ingrained in us, because Elroy's mom and, like I said, my mom, we knew about insurance. I knew about it. I saw my mom paying it. Elroy talked to his mom about it. So it wasn't something that was not discussed in our home, but not to the level which you're telling us, because there's so much more that we need to know. So when people listen to this, good, you have a life insurance policy, but now you need to take the next step and doing some more deep diving and more preparation, because tomorrow's not promised to any of us.
Most definitely. I mean, you can even look at the life insurance as a funding mechanism for your child as well. Your whole life insurance policies build what is called cash value. And that cash value, if you take it out on them at a young age and they get to an adult age and they have their own insurance policy through their job or get their another insurance policy, they can use that cash value that is in that insurance policy maybe to help fund a car or to help with a down payment on a home. So, you know, life insurance is one of those things where you gotta kind of, it can benefit you in more ways than one.
And I think we need to see it like that. I don't think people see it like that.
Right. So question, and this is a question of conflict. Someone has a will and they put in their will, I want to do B, bear, X, Y, and Z. And then they have a funeral arrangement, pre-funeral arrangement. Which one overrides the other? Whether it be the will or the pre-planned funeral arrangements?
The will takes precedent over everything.
Okay.
Especially if that will, a lot of people have wills, but the issue is they have it written, but they don't have it with the county that they reside in. So it makes it a little bit more difficult at times to be able to go by it, because, you know, a will could be somebody writing on a loose leaf piece of paper and putting it under their mattress and telling their loved one that's where it is. But, you know, it's very important to make sure, if you do have a will, to make sure that it is filed in the county and state that you actually reside in. That way, if it ever has to go to court, it's a legal document, you know. That's one thing that I think is important that your listeners need to know about. Another thing that that is very important is what people don't understand with those life insurance policies, that cash value can count against somebody who has Medicaid. With Medicaid, you can only have up to $2,000 accessible to you. If you have more than $2,000 accessible to you, then you can possibly be disqualified from your medical coverage. So that's also something very important, but there's a way to protect that. The way to protect it is, again, putting this insurance policy into a pre-need with a local funeral home. That is something that we see all of the time. A lot of people get nervous because they think, okay, Lord, I got a cash right insurance policy in, or, you know, I have to cancel it because I need my medical coverage. But it's really a simple fix. You contact your local funeral home, let them know you need to do what is called a medical spend down. And with that medical spend down, that pre-need will protect that medical coverage.
So it sounds like a conversation needs to be had before you do anything crazy and stupid to make sure everything is lined up before you make any final decisions. So
most definitely, you don't want that letter to come from that county that you reside in and say, hey, you're at risk of losing your medical coverage.
Wow.
That's a lot of people go through it. However, you know, I try to tell families when they call, you know, they're always upset or, you know, they don't know what to do. You know, they need a medical coverage, but they also need their life insurance just in case something happens. But it's an easy fix. Your local funeral home can take care of all of that.
Okay.
So do you spend at? Go ahead, Warren. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because then you're going to forget yours. Go ahead. So,
that's true. So it sounds like you spend a lot of time during the day with phone calls like this, people needing guidance and people needing questions answered. Is there a fee for calling or a fee for that counseling or?
A funeral home can charge anybody anything that they want. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's a service towards the community. So if somebody is in need, they need counseling as far as what they should do, that should be something that is not charged. You know, that's a part of what we do on a daily basis. You know, our goal is not only to serve families at death, but also during life. So we just want to make sure that everybody has the information that is needed. That way there's no questions. You know, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. You know, we want to make sure that it's not only a funeral service that is just focused solely on death, because it all really starts in the very beginning.
Oh, great. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So the question I have is two questions. One is, I know you work with military once that happens. How is that integrated, either pre-planning or no pre-planning? How do you guys go about? I know you said bringing DD-214. How is that integrated once someone selects you? Because I know, you know, part of it is military, they get involved. Do you guys make those phone calls, or does the family make those phone calls to make those kind of arrangements? So how does that integrate into a service?
So the conversation starts at the arrangement conference, but the main piece of paper is that DD-214. As long as you have a copy of that DD-214, the funeral home makes contact with all of the military necessities that are offered. So as far as the military, what they offer, as long as you have the DD-214, is a flag. They will offer the military to come and play taps and present the flag to your loved one, and a head marker. You can be buried at a national or state cemetery, but it just depends on if that's what your family want to do. Normally, your private cemeteries or church cemeteries, there are no monies that are normally given to go towards somebody being buried there. It's just, you know, directly towards the military cemetery. But, you know, those three offerings as far as the flag, marker, and them sending the branch of military to your service to present the flag and play taps. Now, if you were in the military for a while and retired in the military, and have some time in, then they'll send the pallbearers, they'll send the firing squad. It just really depends on how long you've been into it.
Okay.
Wow. All of that is done through the funeral home. Your funeral director will make sure all of that has been arranged.
Wow. So this is kind of a sad case, but it's all about the numbers. You know, before COVID, you know, and now you had COVID, you know, you didn't got to give, you know, any number of the dollar amounts. Mm-hmm. In percentages, since COVID has happened, how much has your business increased because of COVID?
COVID, I would say, has increased. And I'll just say overall in the state of North Carolina, I want to say funeral homes have seen maybe about a 40% increase.
Wow.
Of cases. You know, it's come to a point where not necessarily the funeral homes in North Carolina, but funeral homes around the country have kind of ran out of room of where to try to get things situated. You know,
wow.
It COVID really caught everybody by surprise. But it was a tremendous increase. That's why it's very, very important to make sure that you are covering yourself, you're covering your family. I know a lot of people are kind of speaking against the vaccinations and wearing masks, but it is something that is definitely needed. Funeral homes see it more than, I hate to say more than hospitals, but we're right there neck and neck. We see it every day of the increase of it. I can say as of maybe May or June, it did significantly decrease. But, with the variant that is out now and the numbers going up, it's a possibility that it may get back to there. You just don't know.
Wow. I guess no mask, no vaccination. They may be seeing you pretty soon.
Yeah. I always tell people, we don't want to see you prematurely. If you can do everything that you can to try to prevent it, please do it.
Prolong that life. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This virus is definitely, definitely real.
Wow. Robin.
And so I know there are people be listening to this because we deal with the Alparcans Financeology 101 deals with finances, but you have to consider this as part of your finances.
Most definitely.
Paying for your life insurance, preparing for your burial, preparing for your family afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's all finances. So I don't want people to think, well, why are you talking about that? We want to hear about credit cards and buying houses. No, this is part of your financial package. This is part of your financial future. We all got to give thought to this and plan and be more aware. And like you guys said, COVID is really opening a lot of people's eyes that we have to be prepared. We have to start giving thought and having this conversation.
Most definitely.
All you can say, COVID is closing a lot of people's eyes.
Well, yeah.
You can say that too, though. That's a big number out there, too.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're not taking it seriously.
The main thing I can tell to your listeners is just to make sure that you're prepared with your life insurance policies that you have. Make sure you pull it out. Look at the different clauses that are in your life insurance policy. See what is available. Like there's one clause in your life insurance policy that people rarely pay attention to, which is called a waiver of premium. The waiver of premium says that if the person is ever deemed disabled, then the insurance company is supposed to pay that premium on that person's behalf.
Wow.
A lot of people have that clause in there, but never know. But to continue to pay their own insurance, that's free money. If that's the clause that's in there, you need to make sure that you're doing what you need to be able to use that clause.
Right.
So make sure you pay attention to clauses. Make sure you pay attention to whom your beneficiaries are. Make sure that if you have a beneficiary on there that is not of legal age, that you have somebody on there that is of legal age, because as you know, if somebody passes away and they're 14 and 15, the beneficiary is 14 and 15 years old, they can't legally sign for the insurance policy to be assigned towards a funeral. So what that means is the family will have to come out of pocket to pay for the expenses, because those monies will be put into a trust through the insurance company and will not pay until age 18.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is something that is very, very important. Don't put little John John on there and he's 5 years old. It's definitely real. Definitely real. They come in with that insurance policy, it's past the contestability phase. And what a contestability phase is, in the state of North Carolina, I can speak for them. There is a 2-year contestability phase. That means the policy has to be in effect for 2 years before they pay the insurance death benefit with no issues. If the person passes away before those 2 years, then they will have to do a medical investigation. They'll have to see if the cause of death is from one of those health questions that you actually were supposed to answer on the policy, and if things don't line up, it is a good possibility that the insurance company will not pay. Now, normally funeral homes will not accept insurance policies that have not been in effect for 2 years. So you have to make sure you've had it in enough time to take care of it. Also, I hate going back and forth, but piggybacking off of the beneficiaries, make sure that the person that you select as a beneficiary is somebody that you trust, somebody that's very responsible, because, you know, you don't want to get to a situation. I had one situation a long, long, long time ago where we went through the entire funeral arrangement. You know, they bought food for the repast and everything was assigned on our assignment. So the assignment basically says, out of the total of this policy, this amount is to be paid to the funeral home for those expenses. So we put the bill together, submitted the assignment to the insurance company. The insurance company said the policy was good, so the funeral home thought it would not be any issues. Then about a month or two later, received a letter, and they said, you know, we are not able to honor your assignment because this policy, the monies have been taken because of unpaid child support.
Whoa.
Wow. So you have to make sure who you select is very responsible, because then that funeral home is sitting there with a bill that cannot be paid because child support wasn't paid.
Wow.
So it's very important to make sure that you have everything in place.
Those two are two big ones.
Yes.
So you saying the government see this life insurance policy and come and take it to pay off stuff like that? Can they do it for taxes as well? Unpaid taxes? I mean,
I'm pretty sure they can. If it gets to if they see that as a policy that's large enough and nothing has been done in years. Your Social Security number is attached to everything when it goes to the insurance company. It's attached to the funeral home assignment. The claim paperwork that the insurance company sends is attached to that. They can find it.
Wow. So that's true. You can't avoid death and taxes.
That's very true.
God, so Moses.
Yep.
Wow.
That's just something. You just stung me with those. Woo.
Yeah, so it's death brings out a lot. However, it is something that you don't want to go through. However, you need to prepare for it. You definitely need to have that conversation.
Now, is there a way for the person as the beneficiary, or say the funeral home, to vet the policy to see what's outstanding out there for this person? The deceased person, to see if the money can be taken away. Is there a way to check that before you start making arrangements and all of that?
Yes and no. It all depends on the insurance company. So once the funeral home receives the insurance policy from the family, the funeral home would have to call that insurance company just to verify it. And one question that I ask on all insurance policies when reporting the death has the policy passed the contestability phase? Are there any loans against insurance policies? Because people do take loans off of it to try to use for other expenses. Or are there any liens against this insurance policy? If they can answer those three and tell me there are none of all of those, then we're good to go. Now, of course, you know, people do take loans off of policies, but you have to make sure if you take a loan off an insurance policy, it's a loan. So that means you need to repay it. If you don't repay it, then at the time of death, whatever that loan amount is, they're going to take it out of that death benefit. But what people don't understand is the interest off of those loans continue to eat up the insurance policy as well.
Okay. Wow. This has definitely been an eye-opener. Wow.
Yes, it has been. Well, I'm going to wrap up, Rob.
Okay, and CJ, is there a way, if people wanted to contact you, provide them with that information, if that's okay.
That's fine. So on Facebook and Instagram, you can find me at C H Anthony Jr. There are no periods in it, just C space H space Anthony space Jr. J-R on both Facebook and Instagram. You can also, if you need to email me, you can email me at canthonyjr@gmail.com. So between those, you can get in contact with me. I'll respond to you. If you have questions about insurance policies, let me know. If you're interested in pre-arrangement for yourself, let me know. I'll be glad to assist you. Even if your listeners are outside of North Carolina, I do have connections with other funeral directors around the country. So just let me know and I can put you in contact with somebody who will be able to assist you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Elroy, you want to provide our contact information?
Sure. So at Gifted Generations, we help lives by improving one's personal finances. We remove the stress to everyday financial management. Right away, we also have a budgeting app. Check it out to change your life. The app is called Bags of Money. It's out on Android right now, and we're working very hard to get it out on Apple pretty soon. This is a great app because it can predict your checking balance any month, day, year in the future. Once you get your income and expenses in, you can look a month down the road. It can predict your actual predicted checking balance based on your spending habits. It is great to have, so I advise you to go out and get it today. We also have a Facebook page. You can find us at on the Facebook website at Gifted Gen LLC. At our IG account, Instagram account, it is gift.gen. That's GIF.GEN. And, of course, on YouTube, you just plug in the search name of Gifted Generations LLC. We will come up. And we have a website. It is giftedgenerations-llc.com. And we always say, what, Robin?
Don't forget the dash.
Forget the dash.
Okay. This was a awesome session. Thank you so much, CJ. My prayer is that people listen to this and be blessed and start preparing and start thinking about it and then start working on preparing for this because this was definitely eye-opening. And sounds like we got to get a lot of things in place, which I didn't even realize that I could just come and start talking to someone now and start getting things in order. So thank you so much, CJ. This has truly blessed us, and I hope it blessed the listeners. This will be posted Wednesday morning around about 6:30. I'll have it ready to be posted 6:30 Wednesday morning so other people can listen to it. So once again, thank you, CJ. Truly appreciate you. Appreciate your time. And we're going to sign out.
Thank you all very much.
No, thank you. And thank you for your time that you decided to come on and give such a very informative information in the session. I pray it goes over very well and people will take advantage of this podcast.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.